If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pulse of Finns Nation. I am your host, Lewis Sung. I am joined by Chris, otherwise known as Duke Early. I am joined by Ron Caniff. I am joined by Eric Weidecke. We've got a whole bunch of Dolphin stuff to talk about here. Jason Stamps in the chat already talking Finns up. Yes, sir, Finns up. We just lost Duke. I think he'll be coming back in just a minute. But like I say his name, and it's like he disappears. It was like, was he ever really here to begin with? Was he all just a figment of our imaginations? But in any case, so Miami Dolphins training camp, we've got Alfredo Arteaga of the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast. He's been there representing Five Reasons Sports every day that there has been camp. Eric Weidecke, you actually, my friend, you were there. You just said that you were there at camp on Sunday, so you'll actually have some observations of your own, I'm sure. We're talking about the early standouts for training camp. I'm sure that anybody who's watching this probably has an idea of who those probably are right off the bat. We'll throw some different names at you, guys that you can potentially look at and say that there might be something interesting there. So we'll get into all that. But before that, really quick, of course, we got to go and mention our sponsors. First of all, we have PrizePicks.com. PrizePicks.com is the revolutionary fantasy platform where you can pick now up to 6 different players across professional sports leagues. Yes, 6 different players are back, including in South Florida with the arena mode. Now, here's the thing that we're actually going to change things up a little bit, folks. The promo has changed. So now when you use the promo code 5, when you do your sign up, all you have to do is you just have to bet $5 and you'll get your $50 in. So no longer are you required to deposit a certain amount to get your money in. All you have to do, you sign up, use that promo code 5, and then whatever amount you end up depositing, that's up to you to decide. All you have to do is bet a $5 play, and they will give you $50 of your own to be able to play with after that. So if you're not somebody who wants to give in $100 to get $100, totally understand that. Totally understandable. Prize Picks understands too. So now they've changed the rules of the game. So now, once again, just use the promo code 5. That's FIVE. Place a $5 bet, and they will give you $50 for any future bets that you want to do. So go ahead. Don't delay. Get started winning today. All right, and of course, we also have jerseys305.com. We'll go ahead and play the video.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the Five Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called jerseys305.com. That's jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with Five Reasons Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection.
And again, that's Jerseys 305. Use the promo code 5 and you'll get 10% off your order. All right. So let's discuss this Miami Dolphins training camp, huh? So obviously I take it back. We're not going to talk about that just yet, because there's one topic that a certain member of our panel did not get a chance to discuss. I don't even have to say what it is. Mr. Ron Caniff.
To his contract, yeah.
Mr. Ron Caniff, the floor is yours, sir.
Well, you knew I wanted them to get it done. I mentioned in here multiple times that they needed to get it done. I mentioned here multiple times. I don't know what we're waiting for. I still think he's going to end up with a deal right around where the other guys were. Not really sure what Greer was going to save by waiting. I don't know. Maybe he saved a buck or two. I'm not really sure that he did. I think it was well-deserved. I think he earned it. I think that the market, more than anything, the market dictated that that's what you had to pay him. Like, straight up. And we know what this offense looks like without him. We saw just in the first couple of days of practice, right? What it looked like without him. It's just not even there. And we definitely know what it looks like without him over the last few years under Mike McDaniel. So yeah, let's go. The distractions behind us. We're ready. Just ready to let's see us win some playoff games now. Like, he got the money. Now it's time to perform towards the end of the season, perform in the postseason, which I think that he can and will. So I'm excited about it. I'm glad that they gave him that money. I know not everybody agrees, but I'm glad that they did.
Yeah, it's definitely been a mixed bag as far as what the fan base thinks. I know that the likes of our usual naysayers, the likes of Colin Cowherd, Skip Bayless, and them, they are continuing their tirade, their crusade, as it were, against Tua Tagovailoa, and
they don't really understand. I mean, let's be honest, man. These guys, they don't understand the game at a level that a lot of people do, even people who are like local podcasters. Their job is different, right? Colin Cowherd, Skip Bayless, Stephen A. What they do for a living is not what the Miami Dolphins do for a living, and it isn't even what we do not for a living on this podcast. It just isn't. You know, they're there to have hot takes. You know, they have an opinion. I believe that is their opinion, and they're there to just blow up that opinion and get some clicks and get some views. And, you know, it's just hot take central. That's all that industry has become. Skip Bayless turned it into that. It was interesting for a while. Now it's getting kind of old and worn out. And I think this kind of group and this kind of discussion, where more and more people are going to go, especially as they do things like open their dumb mouth and say the things they've been saying about Tua, and he keeps proving them wrong, and he's going to end up proving them wrong again. That's the best part about it. He just keeps proving people wrong every single year, keeps getting better every single year. And not a lot of quarterbacks can say that. Has Justin Herbert gotten better every single year? Some might even say he peaked as a rookie. You know, so it's has Joe Burrow gotten better every single year? A lot of these guys haven't. A lot of these guys have been up and down, right? Goff was great. Then he was like trash. Now he's great again, right? Tua has just had this nice, slow, and steady Drew Brees-like climb.
You don't say. The comparison that he's had since the day he came out of college.
It's a great comparison for a lot of reasons. The way they play, new coach brings them along, and all of a sudden it's a flip in their game. The accuracy point, kind of maybe they have around the same height or so, some of the same challenges in that regard. Neither of them really had like a rocket arm. There's a lot of Breeze Tua comparisons that make sense for me. So, yeah, man, I'm not worried about what the big talking heads say. I care about what Mike McDaniel thinks, what Greer thinks, and what the players on that team think. And they all think that Tua is the guy and should be there.
So Yeah, enough said. All right, so back to the topic at hand and the title of this actual show, early standouts for Miami Dolphins training camp. So, Eric, you were actually there on Sunday, so I'll go ahead and let you go first. You've seen a little bit for yourself. You've heard the reports. You've seen everything. What's the one that stands out to you the most and why?
Okay, so there's definitely more than a few standouts going one way and the other, going both ways. The earliest thing has to be Chop Robinson. And it has to be Chop Robinson because when you think of where this team's edge situation is coming into the season, Shaquille Barrett retires. Bradley Chubb looks like he's probably not going to be ready week one. Jalen Phillips might be ready week one. But there's going to be a lot on his plate right away. And the team's going to need him to produce early on. And he's just got such a rare get off from the edge that, I mean, I know that football is a game of freak athletes, but this guy is a freak athlete among freak athletes. You can see it on the field. He moves different. He's in the backfield, you know, one and a half Mississippi off the snap. That's my biggest takeaway to this point. As far as everything is looking like so far in camp. Now, granted, I didn't see a padded practice, so you know, it's just guys kind of running around in their pajamas. But he just—I mean, you've seen it in the padded practices too. The last couple of days, he pops. That's probably the biggest thing for me right now is when you consider where this team is in terms of their need. Along the edge, Chop Robinson looks like he can fill that and then some early on in the season, which is big for a guy that we thought was a little bit more maybe of a project at that edge position.
Yes and no. Okay, so I'll say this about Chop, because my mindset was not so much that, oh, Chop Robinson isn't going to be able to contribute. I never said that he wouldn't be able to contribute. That was my thoughts on Patrick Paul. My thoughts on Chop Robinson were, as soon as Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb come back, you're not going to have much of a role for Chop. And that was my frustration. It wasn't that I didn't think he could play. It was that I don't see a need for him this season past Jalen Phillips or Bradley Chubb getting or remaining injured in Chubb's case. Like, that was my issue with Chop Robinson. I just didn't think eventually his snap count was going to go down. And then it's like, okay, now it is my brain just went numb on me, guys. I know the word that I'm trying to use, but I can't get it out. It was a future pick. It was more of a future pick. Yeah, there it is. But in any case, the fact that Chop Robinson is doing what he's doing, the fact that he is beating all these guys. Now, the interesting thing is, and this is something we have to keep in mind, Barrington Francis in the chat, the offensive line is offensive. See, that's the kind of mindset, the mentality that sometimes it's hard to put things into context. Chop Robinson, I'll say this. He's doing what he's doing during the 11-on-11s. He's doing what he's doing, again, in one-on-one. And he's beating people. But keep in mind, he's beating the likes of Kendall Lamb, which is, okay, he's all right. He's a definitely high-end backup, but he's still backup material. Maybe for some teams he's a starter. You're muted, Ron, so I have no idea what you're using to refute me with.
He was a top 10 left tackle last year when he started.
Okay, but again,
he's a little better than just backup quality.
Okay, fine. He's a little better than backup. So he's low end starter, high end backup kind of player.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
Like I said, he would start for some teams. I wouldn't want him as like, oh yeah, I'm going to totally lock him in as my starter at left tackle for the year, but he can do the job. Certainly better than Jesse Davis. I'll say that. You saw the Saints. I think it was the Saints that signed him, right? You saw he's back in the league again.
I can't say that I spend time keeping up with the likes of Jesse Davis.
I know someone who does. I know someone who does. But anyway, Chop Robinson is beating the likes of Kendall Lamb. He's beating Austin Jackson, who again, he's gotten better. He got his little payday from his little mini payday from the Dolphins, but I'm still not going out there saying, oh, Austin Jackson's a world beater or anything like that. He's still Austin Jackson. He needs to be reminded of how his fundamentals work in order to get the most out of him, which Butch Berry, I'm sure, is still working on him with. But there have been reports that, you know what, training camp hasn't been going quite as well as far for the offensive lineman as they'd like. He's beating Liam Eichenberg, which is nothing. That's an absolute nothing. So he has his, like, if Eichenberg is having ups and downs, again, the problem is that if you're an offensive lineman, you can't afford to have too many downs, especially not if you're fighting for a starting job, which it seems that Eichenberg is. There have been reports that Jack Driscoll is taking snaps at center. I'm still trying to figure out why they flipped it. Like, you already knew Eichenberg could be a backup center, so why are you making Eichenberg play guard again when you have Driscoll right there who can also do the guard spot? Why are you trying to turn Driscoll into the center? That's a different
decision. Maybe they don't think they're going to keep Liam Eichenberg.
That so would they want to have contention. Like, it finally
they want to have finally... just in case. You know, let's see who else could possibly take snaps at center. That's how Liam Eichenberg ended up being a starter at center, by the way, was during OTAs in last year. They said, hey, let's just let Liam Eichenberg take some snaps since Connor Williams is holding out during OTAs, if you guys recall. And lo and behold, season came along, and he was playing center and then starting at center.
Yeah, so that's part of the problem, is that we have to keep in mind who Chop is beating. The only one that he hasn't been able to practice against yet, because this is something that we haven't heard any reports of, not from Alf, not from the beat writers, nobody. He hasn't played against Teron Armstead yet. Like, let's see what he does. Like, because of all the guys that we have on the team, I get it, I understand. And there is one player that I've heard some good things from lately, from all the people who are watching camp, and I'll talk about him shortly. But most of the guys that Chop is beating is not exactly, wow worthy, you know? Now, if I hear reports that Chop Robinson is cutting down Teron Armstead, then I'll be impressed. Like, I feel like that's not something, I feel like that's reasonable to expect. It's like, okay, you've taken down all of these other guys. Now come take down the All-Pro, you know? That's the kind of thing that I would want to hear about. Do you think that's fair?
I think it is fair to an extent. I think it's a little bit less fair because the truth is Teron Armstead just never practices. So we just may never see that matchup really. I did hear that he was kind of practicing in a limited fashion today, but I'm less looking at it from a perspective of, okay, he's beating guys. Don't get me wrong. That's impressive. But it's really just more about his quick twitch movement. His get off of the line, because truth be told, beating, you know, Keon Smith and Liam Eichenberg, not to put those two guys in the same basket per se. Granted, that's not going to really impress many people. But you look for things in terms of, okay, how quick is the guy around the edge? Granted, you haven't gotten to see him finish. I mean, he's getting to the quarterback. Obviously, he can't hit the quarterback, so we haven't seen him finish. But, you know, it's just about, okay, he's getting into the backfield quickly. I like what I'm seeing off the edge in terms of just his ability to bend and get around the tackles. That's kind of more so what I'm looking for, is just, okay, what can be replicated over into a game? And so something like that is something that I could see pretty easily translating and beating, you know, maybe not every left tackle in the league. Nobody's ever going to win 100% of their reps, but I can absolutely see him winning enough to make a difference.
All right, that's fair. So that's one. We got Chop Robinson as one of the standouts. Duke, I want to hear from you, sir. Who have you got up your sleeve?
I think it's interesting that we have seen some plays from Zeke Vandenberg. He was a guy that was an undrafted free agent last year. He was an edge player, but he was kind of had some issues with length. And size. He's a little bit lighter for an edge guy. They've moved him to more of an off-ball a position now, and he's making some plays. If you saw the social media team put out a video of Jalen Ramsey getting a pick, I think it was off Skylar Thompson, but it doesn't really matter. That it was Zeke Vandenberg who made the tip, and and it ended up in Jalen Ramsey's hands. So I'd like to see a guy like that make the roster. I think there's going to be some other guys that are going to make some make Coach McDaniel have some tough decisions. Guys in the secondary, at the wide receiver position, even on the offensive line, I think there's going to be some guys that will need to that are NFL roster caliber players that are not going to be on the team. One thing I want to say about the offensive line and tweets that you will see about this. Number one, we've had 2 days of camp where they had pads, and Kendall Lamb said himself that things change when the pads come on. He said, I can do things now that I can't do when it's just, just out there shirts. The second thing is don't pay attention to who gets beat in one-on-ones. I hate those drills. One-on-ones, or I hate the reporting of the drills. Let me put it that way. One-on-ones, when it's offensive line, defensive line, one-on-ones favor the defensive tackle. They're going to win most of the time. I don't care who you are. And if one-on-ones is receiver and defensive back, it's going to favor the receiver just about every time. So it's newsworthy if an offensive lineman is locking up everybody he goes against in one-on-one. It is not newsworthy if he's getting beat in one-on-ones. It's just not. So look for it when they're the thing to look for there is what they do in team sessions. I think the question with the offensive line from what I was reading today from various stuff was just the snaps. I think there was a couple of issues maybe with Aaron Brewer and Tua. I know a lot of the backups were having issues, and some of these guys probably aren't making the team anyway. So it's not that big of an issue. A lot of these undrafted guys probably aren't going to make the team. So it's not that big of a deal. But I think that, and I think I read that Tua and Aaron Brewer stayed after practice to work on some of the snap stuff. So they're going to get it worked out, and it's early in camp. So overall, I'm not worried about the offensive line. We were worried about it last year, and they turned out to be fine. I would be concerned about the depth of the offensive line. But I think for the starting group, and we haven't even seen Isaiah Wynn out there yet. He's going to be out there. So I think they'll be fine. And I have heard good stories of Patrick Paul in camp as well. A bit up and down, as you'd expect. But I did read yesterday that he locked up Chop Robinson to the point Robinson basically just had to give up.
That was actually one of the things we were going to talk about, too, is that Patrick Paul was the only one who was actually able to slow down Chop Robinson. And because that's the thing. That's the funny thing. He's just that big.
Well, that goes back to what Chris Greer said. Even when he's wrong, he's right. So, yeah, I mean, at some point he's going to have to work on things. And Kendall Lamb suggested that. That was a good interview of Kendall Lamb. If you watched that, I think it was yesterday. A very solid interview, a good candid approach. An App State guy as well, I'll mention. Patrick Paul is so big that at some point these smaller guys, he's just going to envelop them, and they're not going to be able to do anything, whether his technique is there or not. He's just going to the length, the overall size, and the mass, they're just not going to be able to deal with that. So he's going to get some wins there even when he's not right.
So hopefully Teron Armstead can teach him a thing or two about his technique, and that way we can really maximize that God-given athleticism that he's got. Jason Stamps in the chat is asking, has anyone had a McMorris sighting? Patrick McMorris, our drafted safety. In a nutshell, I have not seen any beat writers. I do not believe that Alf has talked about him. So I'm going to say no on that.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen his name mentioned. I mean, partly that might be good, but as a safety, that might also mean he's just not making plays, so maybe it's bad. I guess if you're a cornerback, it's probably good that you never hear your name, and if you're a safety, maybe it's not. Not really sure if that's super accurate, but kind of sounds right, so we'll just go with that. So I don't know. But, I mean, it's still just kind of gearing up. We haven't even had a preseason game yet. We've only had 2 padded practices. You know, there's time. We'll anybody who's going to emerge – because they have more talent than we thought they did, they're gonna have their opportunities. They're gonna have their time for somebody, a name we're not expecting to kind of come up there. Lewis, who was your name?
Well, my guy was Ethan Bonner.
Okay, and, stole one of my two. I had two ready. You took one of them, so go for it.
Okay. I mean, you can talk about Ethan Bonner, too. We all have our own little things here. So my guy, Ethan Bonner, is, the reason it's going to be him is because ever since Cam Smith went down with that injury, and it, there were reports out that he's got a compression sleeve now on his leg, so there might be a couple of days that he's going to be out. Let me tell you something. Those couple of days might be the difference between Cam Smith making the team beyond practice squad or actually being able to contribute this year. Because let me tell you something, Ethan Bonner, like for all the jokes, like, oh, you know, he's a white guy, white corners, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard it before. Like, that's not how it works most of the time in the NFL. This kid, like all the fast guys, Tyreek has talked about him. Jalen Waddle's talked about him. Devon Achane's talked about him. Everybody's like, my God, this guy is fast.
Everybody's talking about him and nobody's talking about Cam Smith.
Exactly. Like this guy, man, it's like, man, this guy's fast. So Ethan Bonner, if he can keep up with the likes of Tyreek, which it seems like he's able to do at least speed-wise, and this kid's an athlete. He's making plays. Like he's every time they go out there and practice, he makes a play. He's doing something wow worthy. And so now you have Cam Smith who's looking at this probably thinking, oh boy, I'm in trouble. At least I would hope he has some level of urgency now, because Ethan Bonner is making a very, very difficult case to say, well, you know, we can't keep you because second round draft pick. Like, no. Ethan Bonner makes so many plays, and he's been doing it so early, and all the players like him, all the big players like him, just because he's one of them. He's one of the speed demons. So it's going to be really hard. If he keeps playing like this, it's going to be really hard for them to justify not making him a regular contributor on the team. At the very least, he's going to make the team just for special teams alone. They're not going to cut him. I think it would be crazy for them to try to cut him now. I feel like he's earned his spot.
We'll see how he does in preseason. I mean, a lot of that will kind of shake itself out. But one thing I want to say regarding Cam Smith, he was a second round pick from last year. There's no chance he's getting cut unless he goes out and.
No, he's not going to get.
He's not going to get cut.
You kind of hinted that. Now, whether or not he's active on game days and goes the Igbinogany route, that's a different story.
Yeah, that's where I'm scared, man. I'm scared that we're going to start talking about that guy again, because I feel like he's sort of going that path a little bit right now. Here it is.
Well,
offseason, and the good news, number two.
But here's the thing, though, Ron, because at least with Cam Smith played well when he was allowed to play, at least for what we saw in preseason, training camp, all that stuff. Igbinogany was bad from the jump, man, and he never got any better.
From what I read regarding Mike McDaniel's press availability today, is it's something that's not lingering. So he said, I'm not putting a timeline on it, but he should be. They're not ruling out training camp and preseason games. So we're going to see him in training camp again. We're going to see him in the preseason. So it's not a situation where, like, he's, you know, unless something worse happens to it, we don't know what it really even happens. So, I'm a fan of Ethan Bonner. I hope he makes the squad.
Ron?
So I'm going to give this name a little bit because I've heard it so many times.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about Ethan Bonner a little bit.
No, I talked about Ethan. You talked about Ethan Bonner enough. I'm going to my guy now. I heard his name mentioned so many times. And in the last few weeks, we've been having conversations that I felt this player was a much more sure thing for the roster than others did. And that's Craycraft. Like, Odell Beckham Jr. isn't out on the field, or if he is, I certainly hadn't heard anything about it. You're seeing Craycraft come out and make play after play after play, or be in position to make play after play after play so far in this, what, 1 week of training camp that we've had. I find that extremely interesting that he's out there just trying to carve his role a little bit, and sounds like he's playing with ones, because you hear Tua throwing to him a lot. So I know that we don't really know for sure, right? Who's ones, who's twos, no official depth chart. Yada, yada. I get it. I just find that name interesting. We already know McDaniel trusts him. I think Tua is starting to trust him even more. He knows this offense. He's willing to do all the little things. He's willing to take a backseat role when the time comes. I like players like that. And he's been that guy. So I
look to him to definitely be on this roster, you know, and maybe even start to carve a little bit more of an offensive role for himself this year.
And I see in the chat right now that everybody, since he brought up wide receivers, Ron, like everybody's asking about Eric Azunkama. Look, I get it. At this point, if he really is hurt, it's not even that I don't know if he's hurt. I haven't heard him anything. Like, I haven't heard anything said about him, whether he's hurt, whether he's healthy, whether he's doing nothing, whether he's doing something. I've heard zero about Eric Azunkama at this point. Unless it was a report I missed.
He wasn't hurt as of Sunday, and he had a pretty good day on Sunday.
Right, but it's a pretty good day. Just, you know, he was there and, well, he practiced and he did things.
Well, no, he's not making one-handed catches in the back of the end zone, but, you know, they had the red zone one-on-ones, and he was pretty regularly beating his guy, you know, making catches, things like that. He didn't make any big mistakes where it's like, oh, man, he dropped the pass that he really should have caught. He was generally doing the things that he should have been doing. That's what I mean by he had a good day. But nothing that I would say, like, wow, you know, really, really jumps off the field either.
Yeah, so basically, like I said, it's not really much of anything going on right now as far as Eric Azunkama. But that being said, even if Azunkama doesn't make the squad, at least the 53, he'll probably get stashed onto the practice squad. They're not going to dump him or anything. If another team claims him, listen, good for him. He'll get an opportunity somewhere. He's got talent. But the wide receiver position has so much talent right now, it's hard to even fathom who you can really go with. They're not going to get rid of OBJ. They're just not. It's not going to happen.
He'll be back too.
And he'll be back. Like, supposedly there were reports that he was out on the perimeter. He was doing his little pup training that he's allowed to do, and he looks fine. So eventually, I wouldn't be surprised if by next week we hear that Odell Beckham is going to be coming back. That's not an official report or anything. That's just me throwing a number out there to say, yeah, probably if everything we're hearing is true, because they're not going to keep him on the pup forever. So, with that being said, again, Tyreek, Waddle, Odell Beckham, you're going to keep Craycraft, it seems like. We already got
I'll throw out another name here.
Malik Washington?
Yes. That's a guy who actually has been popping quite a bit.
They're definitely keeping him. He's also going to – that's five right there, because he's making the roster as well. And then that's – everybody else is fighting for the sixth spot. If for some reason they kept seven, maybe sometimes it could happen, but
it's probably going to be Barrios.
Maybe sounded like he is the guy returning.
Did I not say that? Have I not been saying that all last season?
That's just what they're going to have him do. That's pretty much going to be the dude. I mean, that's six guys right there. That is six guys right there. It is really hard for Azunkama to make it, because
he would almost have to have an injury in the back of his head.
Yeah, I mean, Barrios is safe. Cool. I guess a safe returner is cool. Whatever.
Yeah, I agree. No, I understand. It's important, though, you know, statistically, and I don't know the numbers, Eric, but I'm sure you're probably an analytics guy. I'm kind of an analytics guy, right? I'd be curious to see just, you know, when they look at, does it cost you one game a year not having a guy back there that you know for a fact is not going to bobble a punt return? Just the fair catches. So, you know, even it's really important. We've had guys back there that we just knew in the past. I think Miami's been fairly lucky with that over the years. We usually have somebody that we're not like sweating like, oh my god, I hope this guy can catch it. We've had a lot of really good solid guys in that regard, from Devon Best to Landry to Hartline to, you know what I mean, and some of those guys were important parts of our offense and some of them weren't. So I mean, if you're thinking Barrios is definitely a lock, which it's sounding like, I'll kind of agree with Eric. He's like, yeah, I'm like, whoop-de-doo, who cares, he doesn't excite me. But man, I mean, they got to keep seven for Easy E to, to make the roster.
I mean, to be fair, I guess from their perspective, with an offense as explosive as what Miami has, you really do want a guy that's not going to cost you those extra possessions, because you want the ball in your offense's hands as much as possible.
But I told y'all it was going to be Barrios. They're not going to throw Tyreek and Waddle and them out there.
I really thought there was a chance that he wouldn't make it.
Tyreek and Waddle were never going to be mainstays back there. Those are the guys that's like, all right, it's week 16. We need this game for the division. You're going to return kicks now.
It's still going to be Barrios.
It's playoff. Not enough.
It's going to be there.
They'll get Tyreek in on there and
if,
HM.
If it is a, yeah, if it is a serious situation, they'll do it. If it's week, you know, week three against the Seahawks, they don't care. Like, it's Bears. And, again, I'm going to go with the stance that we're going to be starting from the 30 a lot.
We were fighting for our division lives last year, Duke.
But
did they switch Berrios out?
It's a different situation.
Yeah, but it's a different, it's a whole different rules now.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have made sense analytically, right, to do that. Like, that wasn't going to be the difference. It could definitely be the difference now.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If they didn't do it when the division was on the line, they're not going to do it now.
But it wouldn't have mattered.
Didn't they send Tyreek back there once, though, just to scare the opposing team?
I don't remember that.
I feel like I recall seeing Tyreek there once, and then the other team called timeout.
And it wouldn't have mattered because they would have kicked the ball into like the third row of the stands. That's what was going to happen. Yeah. They were never going to let Tyreek touch the ball. They're like, if Berrios takes it to the house, all right, he beat us. They're not going to let Tyreek beat you like that. Now you can't do that. Or else you let him start from the 30. So if you send Tyreek and Waddle and Achan back there, you just plan on starting from the 30. Just that's how it's going to be. The wide receiver room is really tough. There's going to be some tough cuts there. I even seen Anthony Schwartz popped a couple of times. I was really surprised to learn today that he's only 23 years old, but he's been in the league 3 years. He's a really young guy. He's fast too. He said he believes that he had himself and Bonner and then one other person as the top three fastest players on the team. He said he thinks he's faster than Tyreek and Waddle.
What about Achane?
That might have been number one.
I kind of wondered.
Schwartz is a track guy too, so.
Yeah, we have a track. We always have a track team.
It's so bizarre that people can say that they're faster than Tyreek. Like, he can't even claim that.
Mike McDaniel has a type, as they say. I mean, let's be honest. That is one thing I feel really good about, and that's why I think they really need to keep this kind of thing together, is Mike McDaniel has proven that he can be a good offensive coach, and I believe he's proven he could be a good head coach. I think they need to go ahead and extend him, because I can see a world where Mike McDaniel is doing this whole same thing with all different players that you've never heard of before, but probably still Tua, right? But years down the road, you know, you got, maybe you have Waddle and like no one else, you know, these names, but it's like the same story. Like, he knows how to find, like, Greer and him together know how to find the guys. He knows, like, this guy, this guy, this guy. Running backs too, same way, right? He knows, like, these are the types of guys I want. A lot of times they're not going to make, you don't have to go to the third overall pick of the first round to get these guys that he likes. And so it's really interesting. Hey,
and not only that, look at the first round pick that he's ever made. It was like the fastest edge rusher in the class. So guy runs like a 4.4 something.
Yeah.
At his size. So
for sure.
And speaking
for
of edge rushers, I want to bring up a couple of names of other guys that have popped that we may not get to. Quentin Bell.
Quentin Bell is another.
He was the guy that on Hard Knocks that was he was the Max Crosby fill in for the.
Practice. When they were doing the scout team
and Grayson Murphy, a guy that probably a lot of people glossed over because he's an undrafted rookie. I heard his name quite a bit, making some plays. So the edge room is going to be deep, and there's going to be some guys there that are probably going to get cut, make the practice squad, or maybe get poached. We say that every year, like, oh, these guys are going to get poached, and they never do. But
last year, some guys definitely got poached. It actually did happen.
It did happen. But I think that these are some guys, especially with the guys being injured, if they start the season on the PUP, they're out for 4 weeks. You're going to need that depth, and you've already got Ogba, who got the orange jersey like the first day he was here. And McDaniel even said it wasn't charity. So
charity doesn't mean it's not some sort of message or something there, you know.
But other people that have watched camp said this is the best he's looked since he's been here in the 4 years that he's been here. So, I think it's a scheme fit for what he does, but you've got him, you've got Bell, you've got Kamara, you've got Chop. And it looks, from what I've read today, I think it was one of the beat writers or whoever, I don't remember who it was, but they said they think Chop Robinson's the real deal. So they were convinced after watching the practice.
It was Beasley.
Okay. So
we could see the future there with, you know, maybe Chubb's gone, but Chop on one side and Jalen Phillips on the other. Like, that's the thought here. You know what I mean?
One thing I want to make to Lewis's point earlier is Chop's going to get a lot of run early just because of the lack of depth, so to speak, with the top guys being out. But he was always going to get some run simply because they're going to rotate a lot. I mean, if you look at last season, I can't think of his name. Jadeveon Clowney was Baltimore's number one edge guy, and he played like 600 snaps on the season, which was 60% maybe. So they're going to rotate these guys. They're going to keep them fresh. So imagine you're playing Buffalo. It's week 9. You're in Buffalo. It's a close game. Everybody's tired. Game's on the line. Your offensive lineman's out there. They're huffing and puffing in the cold. And all of a sudden, you've got a fresh Chop Robinson and his 4.4 speed coming off the edge at you, along with Emmanuel Ogba or Quentin Bell or whoever else, and they're fresh taking reps from Jalen Phillips and whoever else, because those guys need a break. Oh, yeah, that's what they're doing. This is going to be, like I think it was Coach Weaver said, it's a tsunami right? It's not the first wave of the tsunami. It's the second wave that gets you. That's what they're doing. We're seeing that with the defensive line. You know, they're going to rotate. I've read Sealer has popped a lot, although we kind of expect that. But these unheralded edge guys, look, I'm an underdog guy. I love these guys. All right. My favorite player on the team is Zach Sealer right now, just because of his story.
I thought it was Kendall Lamb.
Well, but that's, you know, him too, because again, he was an undrafted guy.
That Lewis was trying to beat down on, calling him backup level earlier.
I did not. Okay. I said high end.
Duke,
backup,
you just Lawrence sat there Carter. And said nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
You got guys like that. You got guys like Nick Needham, who, you know, it was, I remember, does everybody remember what the tweets were about him his first preseason? We don't
need him off my team.
Yeah, we need him off my team. He comes yes, in.
I do.
Not only earns a starting role, plays very well, has the injury, comes back. Those are the guys I root for. So I'm rooting for guys like Quentin Bell. I'm rooting for guys like Grayson Murphy and Zeke Vandenberg. I mean, it would suck if Zeke Vandenberg or if Channing Tindall got knocked off the team because somebody like Zeke Vandenberg beat him off the team, right? And got him a third round pick off the squad. But at the same time, it's good for Vandenberg, you know, and I'm all about this kind of story. So I hope Vandenberg wins that spot. He's 6'4", 240 pounds. We need an inside linebacker like that.
So Lenny Pena is asking, how's Jalen Wright been looking? Haven't heard his name come up. He's all right. he's making a few. He's making a few plays.
You know,
he's making a few plays here and there. But
the thing is, this system is just so running back friendly. He's almost, I hate to say that he's looked good by default, but all the running backs in camp have looked pretty good so far.
Well, I do recall, though, Alf mentioning a few, because this is like, I've been authorized to offer some of this information. All of his camp reports are public domain for me to use. By the way, if you haven't gotten into OnlyFans for $3 a month, this is now the best time to actually get in there, because Alf gives very special reports that I am not allowed to talk about. So you got to keep that in mind. There's stuff that I'm not allowed to say on here because of our little deal with 3 yards per carry, but very interesting information that you're missing out on if you don't go to OnlyFans on their Discord server and get that $3 a month. With that being said, I am allowed to talk about all of his reports. Jalen Wright has made a few plays. Don't get me wrong. He's also made some very bad plays as well. Like, he's been dropping things. He's a little, there's a learning curve there.
It sounds like some of the protection stuff. That is so typical. I mean, not an X's and O's guy. Like, this isn't like new information. That is super typical with running backs, especially. That is just one of the things you see all the time. All the teams, all the reports, rookie running backs and protection issues, knowing where they were who they were supposed to block and et cetera, is usually something that takes them a little time to figure out. It's definitely not NFL in college.
Well, yeah, but the protections, I get that, but there's no play call where you should be fumbling handoffs. That's just not a thing that should be happening.
All right, I'm going to give more excuses here. You know, again, handoffs, especially, you know, direct handoffs is just, it's like the center quarterback exchange. Sometimes you gotta get a little feel for it.
He got ripped into quite a bit for that, by the way. Coaches kind of got all over him for that one. But I mean, that's the number one job of the running back, is to protect the football. It's no surprise. Fast guy is at his best when he's allowed to go fast. That's kind of my simplest way of breaking down Jalen Wright to this point. Really good in space, good burst when he does have a hole. I heard that there were some vision issues at Tennessee. I haven't really seen that. I thought he's made some good cuts in the backfield and kind of found a way around. You gotta clean up on a few of the mistakes, but that's rookie stuff.
But one just quick add: Devon Achan was inactive week one last year, so. You know, and he wasn't getting it. They weren't trusting him. They sent a message.
He was
injured. That guy could easily be the number one weapon in the NFL at some point in the next couple of years.
He could absolutely be
what people like CMC plus. I mean, that's just the damn truth. And week one, he wasn't even on the active roster. So I wouldn't like super sweat the whole
game. I don't know.
See, right. he was
bro. Hurt. Come on and, now. You see,
he doesn't have the body for that workload. I'll give you Jamal Charles though.
Yeah, CMC doesn't have the body for that workload either. honestly.
He was. I remember he got body slammed in the last preseason game, and injured a leg or something maybe, and so he was inactive for week one due to that injury, and then they made him active for week two. He had two good runs against New England. Only one of them counted because one came back due to a hold.
Yeah, the hold penalty.
And then the next week kind of, changed everything. So, Achan, and you got to give Wright some time just because, like Eric said, he's a rookie. And his head's spinning right now, and it's like 1,000 degrees down there. And all the stuff's going on, and it's all new, and OTAs and mini camp and all that. That's one thing. This is a different thing, and so he's getting to see it, and he's getting to see these are how the pros do it, and he'll learn. And I don't think, or maybe it was an issue at Tennessee. I can't remember if I know. I think maybe that was one of the knocks was he just didn't protect the ball very well. So I'm certain that'll be drilled into him at some point.
You know who else has looked, and we haven't talked about this position at all, is, man, if the position groups weren't broken up, I would not be able to tell you Jonnu Smith was a tight end. That guy looks like a wide receiver. He absolutely, and he's made a couple plays as well in camp so far. You can definitely see what the vision is for him. But man, that guy, he looks like a wide receiver. He moves like a wide receiver.
He's even taken some handoffs.
Yeah.
Even taken some handoffs.
We haven't talked about that acquisition, but man, he's such an underrated pickup for this team. An underrated pickup.
Another name I'm hearing, since sticking in the same room, right, is, I know we're hearing it again, Tanner Connor, that he's doing good, that he's making plays. It's like, here we go with this again, man. I mean, obviously, I guess you see what they like in him and why they keep him hanging around, where it feels like all anybody ever remembers is the big drop he had. Like when he actually got a chance to do something, that's all, like, this guy can't live that down yet, but he's got to get on the field and make some plays. He'll live it down real quick. But he's another name that, we're hearing again. So,
and it makes me wonder if it's not especially with these young guys, if it's not a system learning curve as well, not just, NFL learning curve, but, because you mentioned Craycraft, and he was a practice squad call up, and had two touchdowns in the first couple games, I believe, that he played in 2022.
That was the Baltimore game, right?
He had one in Baltimore.
Yeah, I remember the Baltimore one.
He had one against the Bills the next week, and that was his only two career touchdowns at that point. And he's hung around, and now he's standing out. So I'm just wondering, I think especially for expectations for guys like Malik Washington, is maybe just, he's going to get some run just because they like him and he's a good, talented player. But it makes me think there's going to be a little bit of a, we're not going to let him play a lot just because there's going to be a lot of room for growth, particularly in that room. And I'm hearing, honestly, this is weird to think about because we've seen Jalen Waddle particularly like body catch a lot. And I remember I have YouTube TV and I'm watching some of the games just to rewatch the games because I get bored. And there was that big drop against Washington where he's coming back to Tua on a little rollout and he drops it. And if he doesn't drop it, he's probably sprinting around the safety for a touchdown, like an 80-yard touchdown. But he only had a drop rate of like 3% last year. He was really sure-handed. And they say in this camp, he's not dropping anything. He's very shorthanded. So he got paid and decided, I need to earn this money. So and the social media put out the touchdown catch he had over Jalen Ramsey. I don't know if it was the social media team or somebody else, but did you see the route he ran?
Mm-mm.
It was utter filth. This was like yeah, like, you know, peak Tyreek level route, just destruction. It was incredible. If I can find it again, I'll send it to you guys. But
yeah, definitely.
If you, for everybody else, just go on Twitter, you'll find something. But yeah, he put a, like, not necessarily a double move, but like a head fake and a jab step. And then he was just, you know, one step in the ground and gone. And he got it in the back of the end zone. So if that's what we're getting from Jalen Waddle this year, I don't think Tyreek's getting 2,000, but Jalen Waddle may get 1,700, 1,800.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I mean, if Tyreek Hill, assuming health and not step back in production, if Waddle kept pace with Hill, even if it means Hill's getting less, like those guys are like 1,600, 1,700 yards each. You know what I mean? Like both within that range. That makes Miami's offense much more potent. Much more potent. That's what I would like to see. Actually, Hill maybe come down a step and Waddle come up a couple steps. I would like to, I never really thought about that until you just started talking about that. And I'm said that bold number, Chris, you know, that it would be advantageous for this offense.
I'm gonna make a bold prediction that if Hill maintains what he's doing, right, 1,700 yards, and Waddle can get to him, there's gonna be a new leader at the top of the Dolphins passing yards for season.
All right.
So Tua officially beats Marino.
5,085 is what need what he takes to beat the record. If you got 2 1,700 yard receivers, you're there. Because Achan's are gonna get
with interest.
Yeah.
All right. Stuff. So speaking of players, we're getting close to the end here. But with that being said, have a day, Jordan Poyer. Jordan Poyer came making interceptions. Like, he's already making this defense scary. Like, all the crap that was talked about how, oh, he's an old guy and we got him at old guy at discount. Jordan Poyer has some elite level instincts. Nothing has changed about that with him. So he's doing everything that he did in Buffalo and then some. So not only that though, I just want to, if it sounds like I pat myself on the back when I start talking, it's my show. I'm allowed to do that. But with that being said, Ron, do you recall sometime around late mid season last year where I started talking about how the Dolphins just have this lack of physicality, and you and I had this long
conversation about
what
that.
It meant to be physical and not.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Jordan Poyer, he said it last week, and it just really hit home when I read it, is that he's talking about during his time when he was with the Bills, and he played against Miami, and he was saying, yeah, these guys fold under pressure if you harass them.
Yeah, go up. He said pretty much they would watch them go up by 7 and watch the players on the other side and look like they're crapping their pants, like they're freaking out.
Right.
Like that was the vibe that Miami was getting off of. So if Poyer didn't even play a snap, that guy provided extremely valuable insight. No, like seriously, I know it was funny, but he actually provided valuable insight to the coaching staff and the players, especially the coaching staff, because they obviously probably didn't realize that that's how they were coming out. That was the vibe they were giving to the other team. And if they're doing that to Buffalo, they're probably also doing that to the Chiefs
and all the other teams, though,
and to the Ravens. I think that was extremely valuable insight. And Poyer's role, as much as on the field, is in the locker room more so than maybe anyone else on that team because of that, you know, that dichotomy between the two teams. Honestly, as far as if the players are the ones picking up on that, then that's something to me. That means something.
But that's what it confirmed to me exactly what I had said. The Dolphins come across as a finesse, non-physical, they can't handle being punched in the mouth kind of football team. And
but I don't
Poyer confirmed
that he was really. No, it's not really for me what he was confirming. He was confirming like our mental state more than anything. I don't think at any point
he's part of it.
You guys were wussies and we could just push you around the field. He was trying to tell, look, when we would go up on you guys would start to crap your pants. Like that was the vibe you were giving out. That was the kind of the signal you were giving us. I don't know that that was necessarily because of physicality as much as it was mental. I think that's the point he was trying to make to the Dolphins. And I don't know
Mental.
Exactly.
Is part of it.
I would love to have known who he said this to, and I'd love to really see exactly how he said it, because I bet you it was a lot more R-rated probably than what was reported. But I would love to know who he was talking to. Maybe Javon Hall and the other safeties. You know, who knows? But yeah, it was. It's interesting. What were you saying, Chris?
He said that comment about that, you know, he thought that the Dolphins would fold. It was in a post practice press.
Yeah, he said it in a post press conference. It's on the transcript.
I'm just saying. I'm sure he'd already said that to the team.
I'm sure he got in there and say, "Listen, yeah, listen." And I don't think it's necessarily physical toughness. I mean, you look at some of the guys that they had. I mean, Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, some of these guys, they're physical. Now
even
you can
Tyreek.
you can question the O-line maybe, but I would say, you know, a lot of it was like Ron said, was mental toughness. And it's like, all right, you are behind. It's the Charlie Brown, hang your head, I'm expected to lose kind of thing. And knowing that now, it's going to be like, listen, we're not, he's coming here. If nothing else, he's going to say, listen, we're not doing that crap now. I'm here and you're going to play like I play. And I don't care if we're down 50 points, we're still in this game. And you're going to play like we're still in this game. And you're not going to just, you know, fold like a cheap suit. You're going to play. And I think that's kind of what we saw with the Dolphins. And it's part of the maturation process. And you know, I know there's a lot of talk about the veterans they brought in, and they've got a lot of old, you know, guys in one-year deals. But that's what you're getting. You're getting veteran presence, these guys who have been around. OBJ has been around. Jalen Ramsey's been around. They've won Super Bowls. You've got Calais Campbell, who's been around for forever. Jordan Poyer's been around for forever. These guys have been through it all, seen it all. They know what to do. And it's good for a guy like Tua, right? And, you know, he said earlier this week something about heavy is the crown. And I think he was like, heavy is the head that wears the crown. And I couldn't stop singing Rearranged at that point. But yeah, that's good for a guy like Tua who needs to develop some more of that mental toughness, where he's like, you know what, guys, like we saw in the Baltimore game in 2022, we're not out of this game. We're still in it. I don't care if there's 30 seconds left and we're down by 40. We're still in this game. You've got to have that mentality. And I think they're going to get some of that from some of these other players. So if nothing else, the Jordan Poyer acquisition was worth it just for that.
And that's something that I think is going to be interesting too, because when I hear that, you know, quite frankly, I do think of Tua, and I think of something that Tua said earlier this week where he's talked about, you know, his leadership kind of coming into its own and finding his voice. You know, there's nothing that's going to get him more confident to puff up his chest and talk to his guys, and then getting that contract and knowing that you are the guy. All those guys in the locker room are looking at him now. And so he's going to be the one that has to be the guy that instills that confidence, you know, in the huddle, on the sidelines. That's going to be part of his responsibility. And it has been the last couple of years. But even more so now with that payday that he's gotten, and he's talked about it, you know, one of the things he thinks he's gotten, you know, what he's improved the most is, his leadership since he's been here. And that's going to be something that he's going to have to kind of showcase this year when you are in those tough games. You talk about going to Green Bay at the end of the year. You talk about going to Cleveland at the end of the year. Those are the games when you know that's going to be put to the test.
I mean, I put physicality and that mental toughness all in the same boat, man. Like that kind of not never going to say die, going to get up. Like it's almost like an anime where it's like the guy just gets one more power level because like, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lose. And he just starts beating the ever living crap out of his opponent after he was supposed to lose. That kind of mentality comes with the physicality, the mental toughness. I put that all in the same category. Miami runs and speeds around, runs around problems, for lack of a better term. And now we have some guys in there. It's like, no, we're going to face it head on, and we're going to come back and we're going to win this thing. And you guys are going to pick your heads up. We're going to get up. We're going to go out there. We're going to punch them back, and we're going to do it our way. And whether that's all speed or they're going to throw some actual physical toughness out there, things are going to change this year, if only because they've got some grizzled veterans out there like Jordan Poyer, like Calais Campbell out there, who are going to go out there and say, no, we're not going to be a finesse football team. We're going to go out there and kick some ass.
Yeah, so, I don't think the defense is going to be finesse at all. Feels like this is going to be a much more physical defense than we're used to as Miami Dolphins, except for like a long time ago. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be as good as like back in the day, right, 20 plus years ago. I'm just saying I just have this feeling that they're just going to be a lot more physical. I don't know why. It just something about it just feels. I don't think the offense will be the same, but I have a feeling that defense might kind of set the. I know that the offense is the big thing, but I'm wondering if the defense can maybe kind of set the tone for the game. You understand what I mean? Getting back into the mentality, right, the mental state versus the physical, and I just don't know. The thing that technically scares me about the defense, right, is the whole pass rush, especially at the beginning of the season. But I just wonder if overall, man, it just seems like the little replacements they've made, you know, it's all been about like everybody they got is like, there's nobody that you feel is like kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say they're all NFL football players. So none of them are wimpy. You know, some of them just feel tougher than others, right? Feels like everybody they signed, they were just looking for like, kind of mean guys, tough guys, hard-nosed guys, just a lot of dudes like that they signed on defense. I think that was maybe something I kind of missed before, but as I think about it, just feels like it's just going to have a little bit of something to it. So I'm excited to see that. I don't know if the X's and O's will be there or how it's going to look like at the beginning, what pass rush is going to look like, but I'm excited overall to see what the defense looks like, say, middle of the season.
What I want to see in regards to that is I want to see in the first game. I mean, last year we saw the Chargers, and they rushed for 200-plus yards. It was, I think, the only game that the Dolphins gave up 200 yards rushing. And it was back and forth. And you never got that feeling that the defense was going to do it. And Tua and the offense had to win that game, and they did. The defense stepped up at the very end. But what I want to see week one is I want to see, number one, a three and out to start with. Like, get the other team off the field in three plays. And then I want to see a big hit. I don't care if it's a 15-yard penalty. Just when they throw that little swing pass into the flat, I want to see a safety or a linebacker come and level that player and set that tone. Like, this is how it's going to be. You're going to play that game, we're going to crush you. And before we get off the air, I just want to say I've got some friends watching. I'm going to give a shout-out to Kings of the 28. You know who you are.
Kings of the 28? Is this like a – is this your cult? Are you in a cult?
Is this Beards and Bars who was in the chat saying calling you out specifically?
Yeah, that's one of them. So I told them I was going to be on the podcast, and they're watching. All right. So they said to give them a shout-out, so I did.
All right. Well, we are going to call it here. But speaking of shout outs, today is actually my father's birthday. So without my father, Lewis Sr.
Happy birthday, Lewis.
Happy birthday, Lewis Sr.
Happy birthday, Lewis Sr.
My father, without whom I would not have been a Miami Dolphins fan, and I would not be where I am today as far as what I enjoy, what I love this team. If it weren't for him, I would not be
a veteran too, correct?
He is a veteran too, yes, many years in the Navy. So. Greatly appreciate everything that he's done for our country. I appreciate what he's done in my personal life, making me a Dolphins fan through and through. He was like, because of him, I was inspired. And I guess you could say he inspired my want to be a journalist, just because without the Dolphins, I wouldn't have been inspired to do it. So big thank you once again to my father for just being a Dolphins fan and imparting that to me. So, Jason Stamps wishes my father happy birthday as well. All right. Like I said, we're going to go ahead and call it here. Everybody, thank you all so much for joining us. Preseason is coming up. We're going to have joint practices soon, so that should be interesting. Plenty of stuff. Like, football is like this close. It's this close. Like, you know that it's close when it's like, oh, man, I can't wait for the preseason. I don't know if Ron's that way. I don't think Ron's that way. I don't think Ron could give a two craps about whether the preseason
happens. You know what? I talked about this like a week or two ago. Duke, man, you like inspired me with that one little speech you had for 10 minutes there at the end of that show about like the little guys making it
we were talking about Reed Sinnett and the big play and all that.
Yeah, that's what you're watching the preseason for. Like, you're not watching this for winning football. You're watching to see a guy like Zeke Vandenberg make a name for himself. You're watching for a guy like Ethan Bonner to make a name for himself. And I don't even think River Craycraft's going to play that much at this point. He's
you know, it is.
Uh-oh, it is, and there goes
dead laptop by Eric.
He talked about his battery's going to die, and there's the,
he's like, it's going to die.
But that's what the preseason's for. And just so we know, Thursday night, we've got a game this week. No more weeks without football until February.
So wait, not this coming Thursday, the following Thursday.
The Hall of Fame game.
Okay. Not
it's not the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, it's not the Dolphins. The Hall of Fame
game. It is the Hall of Fame game on this Thursday?
It's Thursday. It's close to football, not real actual football because nobody's
who's play. Playing. Who's but in the Hall of
the
Fame?
The Bears and the Texans. The Bears. And the
Texans. But it's not Caleb Williams. Like, what's his name? Tyson Bagent or something? I'm not sure.
Tyson Bagent. Yeah. Caleb Williams, according to the NFL.com article, he wants to play. He might get. It'll be like one of those. He gets a handoff, and you remember that a couple years ago when the Dolphins played in that game and Tannehill like. They had a big fumble because the ball like got snapped over his head or something crazy like that. And it was ridiculous. So he might play like one snap, two snaps, and that's it. But hey, it's NFL football and we can watch it Thursday night.
Yeah, it's something. All right. So like I said, we're going to call ahead and call it here. If you haven't already done so, make sure you go to prizepicks.com. Use that promo code 5. And again, the rules have changed. Use that promo code 5. You sign up. You make a $5 bet and PrizePicks will instantly give you $50 in promo funds. But you got to put that $5 bet in. You really won't invest $5 to get yourself maybe a win and then a free $50. At that point, I don't know what else PrizePicks can do for you. Again, promo code 5, F-I-V-E. Go to prizepicks.com. Go ahead and get your money in and get started winning today. And of course, Jersey 305, promo code 5, 10% off any vintage jerseys they have on that site. So we're going to go ahead and call it. Have yourself a fantastic night. We will see you all next week for another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. Good night.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.